Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation, in Colorado, and throughout the world. Here in Colorado on the mighty 50,000-watt blowtorch for Jesus Christ, KLTT. I want to welcome you here in Denver. If you're in your car, if you're at your house, well, stop what you're doing because you're going to want to listen to the broadcast. And if you're listening on the internet, welcome as we go worldwide, unconstrained by the traditional bounds of the broadcast media at KGOV.com. I am not Bob Enyart, the nation's most effective, self-proclaimed right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host, and the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I'm Doug McBurney. Sitting in today, I want to thank Bob for the honor of sitting behind the microphone here in the palatial KGov studios. You can catch my show weekly at theweeklyworldview.com every Sunday night. And then you can listen to it again Monday and then Tuesday and again on Thursday so that you can catch it all. Because we cover so much there that you often have to listen to the show three or four times in order to get it all. And that might be the case with this show today because there's so much going on. But I want to encourage everyone in the audience to go to mycampaigntracker.org. For those of you who are educated in the public schools, you may have to look up the word campaign in order to figure out how to spell it. But it's worth the trouble, trust me. Go to mycampaigntracker.org and see what Bob Enyart's been working on. A system that, well, I think it will revolutionize the way grassroots pro-life campaigns are executed from now until our movement ends. Do you know that I'm hoping that the pro-life movement ends? Yes, I want the pro-life movement to end. I want it to end when we no longer need the movement because the nation and the church once again becomes pro-life. And pro-life views and personhood is mainstreamed. And then our movement can end, and we can go on about our business and do other things. And mycampaigntracker.org is going to be a big part of that. Go there, sign up, so that you can get updates when mycampaigntracker.org is launched. And then you can find out what you can do in your neighborhood, in your zip code, in your city, in your county, to advance the cause of personhood for the big November election. That's mycampaigntracker.org. Bob is there right now in the mycampaigntracker.org compound working feverishly. They have him chained to a desk. Sweat is pouring off his brow as he types and programs. And we could use your help. Go to mycampaigntracker.org, sign up. And if you're an insider, you can even help us debug the thing. It's going very well. I think it's going to launch any minute now, any day now. Also, what else do we have going on? Oh, Bob will be back tomorrow for Real Science Friday with Jerry Bergman, Ph.D. You won't want to miss that. That's Real Science Friday. Bob will be back tomorrow. And also, I want to remind you to donate. Bob Enyart Live stays on the air only because of loyal support of listeners like you. Not slackers, not freeloaders, and not losers. I'm talking about people like you who put your money where your mouth is and keep Bob Enyart on the air. You can donate by calling 1-800-8-369-278. That's 1-800-8-369-278. If you can't make the donation right now, just write the number down and make the donation later. 1-800-8-369-278. And, of course, you can go to kgov.com and get some of the resources that will make you an unstoppable force in the cause for good and righteousness and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. That's KGOV.com. Go there, get the materials, make your donation, KGOV.com. All right. Now, you'll remember before I was rudely bumped off the air earlier in the week by the host of the program, Bob Enyart, because there was certain, I was calling people stupid on the air and I needed some counseling. And I've had some counseling now and I feel much better about myself. And I want to thank all of you for your tolerance and certainly want to thank Bob for his. But you'll remember before I was praying and hoping, actually I was just hoping, and talking about Firing Squad Friday, which is coming up tonight at midnight, or technically Friday morning between the hour of midnight and 12:30 a.m., when a firing squad out in Utah will hopefully introduce Ronnie Lee Gardner to Jesus Christ, his creator and judge. Yes, Ronnie is, let's see, what's going on? The governor has been asked for a temporary stay. That request is under review right now by the good governor out in Utah. The U.S. Supreme Court is expected to rule today on Gardner's appeal. And at that point, all appeals will be exhausted. And Ronnie Lee Gardner, murderer, 1984 and 1985, murdered a couple people. Ronnie will be duly executed by firing squad. And so you may think I'm flip about this and that I think it's just a wonderful thing to have a man executed by firing squad just because of my nonchalant demeanor and the fact that I tend to be a smart aleck with a big, big mouth. And but I want to stop for a moment and I want you to consider the gravity of the situation. Here's Ronnie Lee Gardner. He's a murderer. He's identified as a murderer, and we can tell he's unrepentant because he continues to appeal. In fact, what do I have here? He told the Board of Parole that he's a changed man and that his sentence should be commuted to life in prison, and then he can grow gardens with school-age children and, I don't know, teach them how to make garden salads or something like that. He has a plan. So Ronnie Lee doesn't realize that he should be executed. And that the only way he's going to avoid being identified as a murderer for all of eternity is to repent of his sin. So I want to pray for Ronnie Lee Gardner right now. Heavenly Father, and pray with me, folks. Heavenly Father, we want to pray here at KGov that Ronnie Lee Gardner comes to an understanding, Lord, of the seriousness and the gravity of his crimes and his sins, that he might repent, Lord, and seek forgiveness in you. And Lord, we ask that the governor and the Supreme Court does not delay Ronnie Lee's meeting with you. And that that meeting might be joyful, Lord, and that Ronnie Lee may have repented. And Lord, we pray because we know that the only chance Ronnie Lee has, his heart's been hardened, Lord, all these years in prison. We know the only chance he has at repentance is to come to the full realization that he is about to be cast out from this mortal coil upon the mercies of the living God. And Lord, if he repents, we pray for a joyful reunion and that that there's mercy for Ronnie Lee Gardner. And Lord, let the aim of the firing squad be true. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So there's our prayer for Ronnie Lee and the firing squad. Let's see here. Is there anything else? Oh, just so you know, in case you didn't hear, earlier in the week, Ronnie Lee fatally shot a lawyer in April of 1985 while he was on trial for the murder of Melvin Oderstrom in 1984. So, there we have that. Get that out of the way. All right, do we want to talk about, are you guys all geared up for the big Lakers game tonight? I said the Lakers, they play basketball. No, I'm getting looks of, they're playing another team, and I'm not certain who that other team is. Because the Lakers seem like... Anyway, out in Los Angeles, apparently the police are concerned because last year the LA Lakers, which is a basketball team from what I understand, they won the championship and there was riots in the streets and they were throwing bricks and looting stores, burning cars, overturning police cars. Well, the police are going to deploy hundreds of officers, apparently. According to the LA Times, they're going to deploy hundreds of officers around the Staples Center, which is the basketball arena there in Los Angeles. And they're going to do their best to deter anyone from what they call, quote, spoiling a potential celebration should the Lakers win the national championship. Yeah. And the police are serious out in LA. In order to warn people that they were serious, yesterday and today, they arrested 31 members of a tagging crew. Now, for those of you who are old like me, you don't know what a tagging crew is. They vandalize buses and they spray paint cars, buses, walls, anything they can spray paint. Well, they arrested 31 members of this tagging crew after a year-long investigation looking into all the violence that happened last year after the Lakers won the championship. And so the police believe that these arrests will serve as a deterrent, or at least a warning, to anyone anyone planning anything out of line tonight after the Lakers are defeated by whoever it is they're playing. Who are the Lakers playing? Is it the Utah Jazz? Phoenix Suns? I know they're not playing the Broncos. I mean, the Broncos. I know they're not playing the Nuggets, right? I just don't know who the Lakers are playing. Oh, I know. It's the Boston Celtics. It's like 1983 all over again. So after the Lakers are defeated by the Celtics, I'm willing to make that bold prediction. The police are hoping that there won't be riots, and they've arrested these 31 members of the tagging crew, basically just vandals, gangsters, thugs, in order to, well, to warn people off. And I've got a suggestion for the LAPD. And I know they might not be able to do this, but think about this for next year. Next year, arrest gang members and have them publicly flogged the day before the game. Have them publicly flogged the day before they get the game, right in the parking lot at the Staples Center, and put up on the Diamond Vision board that this is the fate that awaits anyone who riots after the Lakers win, lose, or draw. And that would be an effective deterrent. That's my solution, by the way, for tagging, is a public whipping. Yeah, for the taggers, a public whipping. You'd be amazed at how they could take all the concertina wire off the street signs out in L.A. with just a few public whippings. I mean, just think of the money L.A. could save on all that barbed wire. Have you ever been out there? It looks like Beirut. All right. Now, let's stay with the vein of sports. Or do we want to get into the Mark of the Beast right now? No, let's do sports for just a moment, and then we'll move on to the Mark of the Beast. Apparently, if you watched the World Cup last night, which I know you guys did, you watched the World Cup. If you watched, you may have noticed, if you watched the match between North Korea and whoever it is they played, I don't really know because I must confess I didn't watch the World Cup, and in fact, I hate soccer. But if you watched the North Korean match, you may have thought that there was a bunch of North Korean fans in the stands, but turns out, there was a couple of groups. There was a group of about 300 that were just carefully hand-selected by the North Korean government. And if you watched the video carefully, you noticed that they sang their national anthem as loud as they possibly could. And then they had a fella standing in front of them who looked like he was conducting an orchestra, and he told them when to cheer. It was really kind of bizarre. And then there was another group that turns out they were hired party members, Communist Party members, hired by the Chinese to go down and root for the North Korean soccer team. Or should I say football team, or would that confuse things even further? I mean, I can barely tell the Broncos from the Nuggets, and I don't want to use football because you might get confused. But this just goes to prove my point that soccer is horrible. And that you basically have to enslave people or pay them in order to get them to cheer at a soccer match. Yeah. So, yeah, North Korea has not let up on their restrictions on travel. The barbed wire still points in around the borders of North Korea. Unless you're a party member, you've been brainwashed, or you've been threatened with death, or, you know, they threaten to starve your family to death unless you cheer for the North Korean football team out there on the pitch, mate. Yeah, okay. So, if you want to call the broadcast, please feel free. If you like soccer, I would like to counsel you. Maybe I can help. The number to call is 1-800-8-369-278. That's 1-800-8-369-278. That's 1-800-8-NYART. For those of you who are alphanumerically gifted and can figure that out, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-8-369-278. Let's talk about the Mark of the Beast because it's in the news again. Where'd my story go? Here we are. Out of the nation of India, India is in the midst of conducting their census, and they're trying to count all the people there in India. Well, in Aizawl, India, there's a couple of churches there who are afraid of the beast. They're afraid of the mark of the beast, and they're afraid of the devil. And this has caused about 1,000 families in these two churches. Let's see, it's a Baptist church and I can and a Presbyterian church. Well, about 1,000 families in these churches have refused to sign or fill out the documents or enroll their names in India's census. And according to a news source out of India, they base their refusal to participate on the 13th chapter of the book of the Revelation of St. John in the Bible, chapter 13, the 17th verse. And then they attempt to quote it here, but I'll quote it here for you from the New King James Bible. Warning, 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 Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Yart Live that you would not tolerate anyone who would ever even dare consider quoting a Bible verse in public, so this warning gives you fair notice. That raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered, Revelation, the 13th chapter and the 16th verse. He caused all, he being the Antichrist, caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Well, it seems in India they have a new regulation. They have what they call a unique identification authority in India, and it's basically a national ID card, and if you sign up for the census, you have to fill out the national ID card. And the law in India now says you may not buy or sell property. You may not buy or sell property without the unique ID card. So because the Indian government has said you cannot buy or sell property without getting your national ID card, which they're issuing through the census, a couple of churches, about 1,000 Christian families over in India, are afraid that they're going to get the mark of the beast by accident by signing up and getting this ID card. And they want to prevent their eternal damnation, and so they don't want to participate in the census. Can you get the mark of the beast by accident? What is the mark of the beast? And can you get it by accident? We're going to address that in just a moment, but first let's go to line 7, Fitz in Hayes, Kansas. Speak your mind.
Yeah, hey, man, why you ain't on the Lakers, man? I'm a Lakers fan, man, and I'm rooting for them. You just say you don't care about the Lakers. What's up?
Fitz, I thought the... are the Lakers... is that the Minnesota team? I was wondering why this story was in Los Angeles. What's the deal there?
Oh, you know, hey. Boston have had, what, 17 championship? I mean, somebody else needs to win other than the Celtics, you know. So we...
Hey, Fitz, are you going to be watching the game tonight?
Oh, yeah, I'm driving. I'm trying to get home so I can watch the game, yeah.
Well, Fitz, what would be more likely to make you overturn a police car, if the Lakers win or if the Lakers lose?
I don't know about turning a police car. That's not cool. Hey, I don't want to condone that, you know. That's somebody who's too crazy for me. But, hey, a win won't be bad for me, you know. I'll probably turn my wife around.
Well, Fitz, we're glad to have you in the audience, and we're glad that you have pledged here not to turn over any cars in Hayes, Kansas, whether the Lakers win or lose. Can we get that pledge from you right now, Fitz?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I ain't going to go that far.
Awesome.
But, you know, I want us to win, though.
Okay, Fitz, don't start drinking too early in the day, okay?
All right, man. I appreciate it, man.
All right. God bless. God bless Fitz out in Hayes, Kansas. He's apparently... getting ready for the festivities for the Minnesota Lakers this evening as they take on the Boston Celtics. The number to call, 1-800-8-369-278. If you disagree with my prediction that the Lakers will fall in Minnesota to the Celtics. Let's return to the Mark of the Beast, because I have some serious thoughts on the Mark of the Beast. I've thought about this for a long time, actually not that long. I'm not too hung up on the Mark of the Beast. First of all, what is the Mark of the Beast? Well, let's go to Ezekiel. If you have your Bible handy, I've already given the warning. I didn't give a warning against Fitz from Hayes, but I did give a warning for all of you who are offended by Bible verses. From the book of Ezekiel, in the third chapter, the Lord is speaking to Ezekiel, and he says, Ezekiel, the house of Israel will not listen to you, because they will not listen to me. For all of the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, Ezekiel, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their foreheads. Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead, Ezekiel. Do not be afraid of them, nor dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, receive into your heart all my words that I speak to you. Now let's talk about Ezekiel, Ezekiel's forehead and his heart. Now when the Lord is talking about making Ezekiel's forehead hard against theirs, do you think he's literally encouraging Ezekiel to go out and crack foreheads with the religious and political leaders of his day? I don't think so. I think what the Lord is talking about here is the strength of Ezekiel's spirit and his mind represented by his forehead. And the Lord basically tells Ezekiel, look, you're going to win. I'm with you, Ezekiel. Don't be afraid of these rebellious people. I have strengthened you. Okay? And so, and there are a number, I don't have time, it's a very short show. I can't go into my entire, some studies on the right hand as well that we could go into. But let me just assure all of you Christians out there, and if someone can get this message to the folks in India, that the mark of the beast, in my humble opinion, is not an actual physical mark. When the Bible talks about your forehead and your right hand, it's talking about what you think and what you do. And if you work in the modern, if you have a job in the modern corporate workplace, you know how hard it is to be a Christian. I mean, we're already approaching the time when you will not be able to buy or sell unless you have the mark of the beast in your forehead and in your right hand. If you don't think and do what the godless, antichrist world system wants you to do, you will be pushed to the side and you will not be able to participate in economics. And so don't worry about a national ID card or someone sneaking up on you in the middle of the night and tattooing something on your right hand or on your forehead. Instead, guard yourself by focusing on the scripture, learning the scripture, and having a relationship with Jesus Christ so that your mind and what you think and your body and what you do with it is not a reflection of a godless, antichrist world system that is against Christ. Because that's the mark of the beast. And the book of Revelation indicates to us that at some point the entire world will be deceived and they'll all have this mark of the beast in their forehead, in their right hand. They're all going to be doing, saying, and thinking in complete rebellion against the Creator God. And if you're a Christian, you're not going to be able to get the mark of the beast by accident. If you're a Christian and you love the Lord and you love the scriptures and you love truth, by definition, you will not get the mark of the beast. Okay, so I guess that's it on the mark of the beast. We could go a lot further into it, but I don't want to lose any of the heathens out there who don't like Bible studies. You know, any of the Lakers fans who might have tuned in. So let's move on. Should we move on? I must comment. Closing arguments out in Los Angeles, California, where there's going to be a basketball game tonight. There's also been a disclaimer. Anyone with young children, turn off the radio. Don't listen to this because it's disgusting. Okay, I'll give you 3, 2, 1. Okay, I'm assuming that you've turned off the radio. Closing arguments were heard yesterday in Los Angeles in the Proposition 8 trial. The homosexuals in California are trying to overturn California's ban on homosexual marriage, quote-unquote marriage. And U.S. District Judge Vaughn R. Walker is presiding over the case. And I went to WorldNet Daily today, as I am often wont to do, at least twice a day. And I've learned for the first time, and I've actually been following this case because I think this will be an extremely significant ruling. U.S. District Court Chief Judge Vaughn Walker, according to WorldNet Daily, is a homosexual. Yeah, the San Francisco Chronicle reported that the politicians and lawyers out in San Francisco who've dealt with Judge Vaughn, lisping Vaughn Walker, They confirm that he's an open homosexual. He's never tried to promote nor hide his homosexual orientation, and he's presiding over the case to overturn California's ban on homosexual marriage. How do you think that's going to turn out? And finally, another story that no young children should hear about, but every adult should be aware of. There's testimony today before Congress to regulate the internet, and Matt Drudge is very upset and scared by it. And a group there, Donna Rice Hughes, president of Enough is Enough, which is a Virginia-based nonprofit, she says the reason we need the government to regulate the internet is because of the promulgation of pornography. She says that because obscenity laws have not been upheld or enforced, illegal adult pornography has flooded and polluted the internet. Well, you can't really argue with her, can you? She says, today we're calling for Congress and the Department of Justice to ensure the enforcement of our current obscenity laws is a priority. Now, folks like Matt Drudge are upset that they're going to somehow regulate free speech on the internet. And with cause, they're upset. Because the government right now is dominated by, well, people who have the mark of the beast, not to put too fine a point on it. And I don't trust them to regulate the internet, but there's a lesson here, ladies and gentlemen. The internet is a marvelous, wonderful invention that has improved civilization dramatically, or at least it has the potential to do so. But because we decided, the church mostly decided 50 years ago that we were going to tolerate pornography, now pornography poisons the well that could be the font of the greatest economic and spiritual revival in the world. The internet is polluted by pornography because of us and what we've decided to tolerate. So Americans, Christians, make a commitment today. Just like President Obama made a commitment the other day to start a commission to start looking into a long-term policy to possibly look into the cleanup long-term of the Gulf. Make a commitment today to stop tolerating pornography and to stand up and tell people that pornography is criminal, whether it's adult pornography, any kind of pornography, is criminal, and don't let it corrupt your lives, and don't let your friends and neighbors think that it's something to laugh and giggle about and something that's fit for mixed company, because it's a crime, and it should be a crime. And instead of regulating the internet and shutting down free speech, we should be shutting down the pornographers, publicly flogging them, and possibly even executing some of them if they don't stop doing what they're doing to ruin our culture. All right. So join us tomorrow here on Bob and Yart Live for Real Science Friday. Bob will be in the studio again. Go to MyCampaignTracker.org. Sign up so that you can get an update when the campaign is launched. Tune in tomorrow. And by the way, Maranatha Christian Center, look that up on the internet, folks. It's in Arvada, Colorado. Maranatha Christian School, the finest Christian school in the great state of Colorado. God bless.